Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Yarrow Moen was named president and CEO 2.5 years ago. He brings a long and varied broadcast history to the post, including stints as a New York disc jockey and as an owner of radio stations. He also created E! Entertainment Television and was also general manager of MTV, which raised a few eyebrows when he joined NPR. He's visiting St. Louis Public Radio, and I sat down with him a few minutes ago here in the studio and asked how NPR is preparing to cover the Trump administration in Washington.
Well, anytime there's an administration change, there's a lot of news being made. So, and certainly that's the case with this election. One of the things I find fascinating, I talk to my colleagues about, I just talk to friends and also listeners. I've never seen people so engaged and interested in what's going on, particularly – when was the last time you were as fascinated by who the cabinet picks were? I've never been as interested or aware of it as I am now.
A lot of news is being made, but a lot of it is being circumvented too to a degree because Mr. Trump is using Twitter to reach the public rather than the traditional media means.
Well, he does, but almost every time he does, his traditional media tends to pick it up. And so, you know, I don't think any of those things go unnoticed.
Yeah. Well, I guess not unnoticed, but there are concerns that his attitude toward the media shows some disdain for it. And I would assume, given the media organization that you represent, that there would be some concerns about that and how to cover them. A lot of media people missed the boat during the campaign.
Well, you know, that's a whole other topic, yeah. And we can dive into that. I do think, you know, some of the statements that he has made about journalism, whether it's the Washington Post or the New York Times, you know, is concerning. The good news is I think most of the people that are in government around him understand how important journalism is and how important news organizations are. And, you know, I think some of the things that he's – one thing we have noticed about him is that he will make statements to get attention and then those comments later tend to be a bit tempered. So are we as journalists concerned? I think anybody would be by some of the things that were being said. But ultimately, I think we have a remarkable democracy. I think we have a journalism, whether it's public radio or the newspaper business, a lot of really remarkable people covering very important stories, and we try to do that at NPR. I think that journalism it will prevail. I'm more worried about journalism, some of the economic things that are happening to journalism and less concerned about the political.
Speaking of the economics, what about the potential for funding or loss thereof with the new administration coming in and the Republican Congress?
Well, that's – you know, we've had a Republican Congress for – you know, since 2010, and there have been movements in the past to try to defund public broadcasting. But we do have a lot of friends both on the Republican side of the aisle and the Democratic side of the aisle, and we're counting on them. We don't know which way it's going to go. We don't know what will happen. It's always an issue, and it's always been an issue for public broadcasting. And it's something that we have to keep our eye on. But we do have a lot of friends. We do have a lot of support. And one of the most important things, and we stress this in all of our conversations, it's not organizations like St. Louis Public Radio that are going to be greatly at risk if that were to happen. It will be uncomfortable. It'd be a nuisance, a large nuisance here. But St. Louis Public Radio is going to prevail. The communities, small communities in rural parts of the country where public radio is the only source of information, these are the ones where it's a huge percentage of their budget. It might be 30%, 35% of their budget comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. That news, information, and service in those communities is going to be greatly at risk. Those are the ones that I think we worry about the most.
You know, speaking of the rural America, and getting prepared for this interview, one of the things that I noted was that Pew Research has done some polling recently. I'm sure you're familiar with this, saying that NPR is broadly trusted but less so in rural or red America than it is in other places. What do you do about that? How do you fix that issue?
Well, I think part of it is, up until recently, I don't know how good a job we have done in terms of reflecting the voices of those communities. Historically, for decades, NPR has been perceived, and I think largely rightly so, as being a bit elitist, being East Coast, West Coast centric. And we have, over this election period, I actually think leading into it, I'm really proud of some of the coverage that we've done. Steve Inskeep spent a week in Appalachia talking to people of all walks of life. He did. David Green did the same thing in Montana for a week. We had a lot of both of those folks, N.R.E. Shapiro, in Georgia, in Florida, in Arizona, talking to people from all walks of life about, you know, their impressions on the election. You're going to be hearing us doing a lot more to have those voices represented. We have one of our correspondents, Kirk Ziegler, is now – his new beat is the urban – rural divide, and he's going to be doing a lot of stories like that. So I think that's one of the reasons. I don't think we've had those voices on the air.
Kurt, we'll be spending time in Missouri, I'm sure, because yes. We have a terrific divide here. You know, what you've just pointed out, I think it seems to me, in any case, as if it's a lesson learned from the last election campaign, because there's no question that journalism in general, and newspapers certainly, missed the heartbeat of America, and that's why everybody missed the election result. So you're compensating for that, I guess.
Well, I think regardless of what the outcome of this election is, and I think there are many lessons for many of us on many, many levels. But even if it were not for that, I think the future of us at NPR and public radio has got to be not sounding – if we want to expand our audience – we can't just sound East Coast, West Coast. We can't sound elitist. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean some people – I know some people are listening right now saying, oh, they're going to dumb it down. That's mm-hmm. not what I'm saying at all. It's not that at all. We have to represent the entire country. I think it makes us sound infinitely more interesting when we hear stories. We're all about journalism, but we're also about storytelling, and it's being able to convey – what's happening and talking to people across the country. I found some of the most interesting coverage of this election was when Steve Inskeep and when David Green were out talking to voters, whether they're voters for Hillary Clinton, for Bernie Sanders, or whether it was Donald Trump, and asking them what they were thinking. And whether, you know, almost every single one of them sounded like – I mean, they had their unique reasons for their particular position, and they were remarkable in the way they articulated it.
You know, I listened to those reports, but it seems to me there was some criticism of them too. Was there not, about people who were complaining, well, who are these folks? They're just plain folks.
They're called voters. They're called voters.
Sure.
You know, we – being able to – again, we're never going to please 100% of the people 100% of the time. We can't – we shouldn't, nor should we attempt to do that. But we do think a lot of people missed this election. A lot of people miss what's happening in America on any particular issue because in the term of – I guess the term that gets used is we're in these echo chambers. We're in these bubbles. And – we think it's our job and it's our responsibility as a news gathering organization to make sure that we uncover as many of these voices as we can so people can hear what's going on.
What about the diversity issue within the American public at large? Obviously, the demographics are changing. Is NPR and NPR – are NPR personnel changing as well with regard to diversity?
Yes, we've had a very concerted effort in that. It's been again one of the areas where we have been criticized, again, correctly over the years. We've made, I think, huge strides. We still have a long way to go, but for instance, with our news magazines, which are the tent poles of our network, Morning Edition, All Things Considered, and then our Weekend Edition, Saturday Weekend Edition, Sunday and Weekend All Things Considered, we have 10 hosts. Amongst all those shows, five are men, five are women. We have two African-American hosts now, one Latino, beginning in a couple of weeks. We have four executive producers doing those shows. Again, it's not just the on-air talent that makes a difference, or the reporters or the sources. It's also the people that are making the decisions about what topics are going to be discussed and in what ways those topics are covered, so that we have very diverse points of view. We have four executive producers. All four of those executive producers are now women, and half of them are African American. So,
but are those points of view being reflected by the people who are selected as guests?
We try to. Again, we call that sourcing, guests and sourcing. Mm-hmm. We keep rigorous statistics, you know, month by month on the demography of our guests. We don't have quota systems, but we really work hard. And it's not just ethnic diversity. We're very concerned about geographic diversity. So all of the experts that we have on aren't from universities in New York and Los Angeles and Chicago. We want to make sure that we represent a broad swath. We want to make sure that we have men and women. We have people of color. And we have different representations geographically, regionally, politically. We want to make sure that when we cover a topic, we're looking at it from a lot of different angles.
I want to pick up on that point. We have to take a quick break. We'll do that now. We're talking with Yarol Mohn, who is the president and chief executive officer of NPR. We'll continue this conversation in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Back with Yarol Mohn, who is the president and chief executive officer for NPR. He's in St. Louis for a visit here at St. Louis Public Radio. And you met with the staff today. And one of the things that I was impressed hearing you say, because it's something I happen to believe in, is the importance of local news. Mm-hmm. It's becoming more and more important, isn't it, now as the mass media shrinks, particularly newspapers?
Yes.
Yeah. Elaborate on that.
Sure. It is – we provide local – rather national and international news. Our member stations provide local and regional news. And we do know that as our member stations add more local and regional news, they tend to perform better. They're performing a community service. It's what people look to them for. Some do more than others. Some do it better than others. But we think that it's hugely important. There's a great opportunity, particularly because of what you talked about. For years, the leading source of news and information in most communities in the United States was a local newspaper. It's sad to see what's happened across the country. The economics have been difficult. It's very expensive to print on dead trees news and have it distributed by human beings to people's doorsteps. Digital is, you know, replacing some of that, but the economics of the newspaper business are very, very tough. The economics of journalism in general for everybody is very tough. It's very expensive to do, but we think, you know, we think it's incredibly important, and public radio is fulfilling that role in many, many communities.
You've also indicated, though, that these stations all over the country are going to be contributing more, and in fact are contributing more, to the network and network magazines.
Yes.
And that, once again, extends the reach of the network, doesn't it, into the heart and soul of this country.
Yeah. When a story breaks in any community, if a story of national importance happens here in St. Louis, the quality of the reporting is going to be far better if we partner with St. Louis Public Radio, someone that's in the city that knows the decision makers, that know the people here, that know the issues, that know the backstory. We're going to get so much more depth and texture and backstory to what's going on than if we were to fly one of our best, most veteran reporters in. And that's why we really want to partner with our member stations.
But that's what you did with David Green and Steve Inskeep. They parachuted into Appalachia for a short period of time.
But in both cases, they worked with the local member station, and the stations were able to help us. So we do send in on every major story, we do send our people in. But historically, they would be our single source of information for what was going on. I'll give you an example. The shootings that occurred in San Bernardino, a horrible situation. Historically, we would send our reporter in and they would cover that story. We had four other member stations that covered the story. KQED in San Francisco sent a reporter. KPCC in L.A., KCRW Santa Monica, and KVCR in San Bernardino. All four had reporters there. Historically, each of these stations would have been duplicating each other's efforts. We put an editor there, and we said, let's work together. You cover this part of the story. You cover this part of the story. And we, in fact, multiplied the quality of the coverage and the amount of coverage by four because we had more people on the ground.
Sure. Well, we saw that here in Ferguson.
Yeah.
Obviously, everyone remembers that story. And the national media came in. And I'm not talking about NPR now. I'm talking about the national media came in and flooded the area, but didn't cover the story particularly well because they didn't know the area, didn't know the background. And it really set them back, I think, and caused a very false impression around the world as to what was going on here and why.
Well, that's why our relationship with St. Louis Public Radio and with our member stations is so important. We think we can partner on these stories. We can learn a lot from the local expertise, and we hope we can also provide value, too, by bringing in people like Steve Inskeep and Ari Shapiro and David Green. And
let's talk for a moment about your audience and the audience you want and need. Millennials are a very important part of NPR's future, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's the audience of the future, so you want to grow it. How are you doing that?
Well, a couple of things. First, we've had, over the last year, dramatic increases in 18 to 24 and 25 to 34-year-olds, the millennials. Despite the mythology that they, quote, don't listen to the radio, it's not true. 93% of 18 to 34-year-olds listened in the last 7 days. They do listen to broadcast radio. However, there hasn't been a lot in the news area that has been particularly interesting or engaging to them. What we've seen with podcasting, and to me that's the gateway for them, we have seen with some of our counterparts in the podcasting arena, Serial, for instance, that This American Life does. It's a remarkable podcast. They did a great job. People think it's us. It's not us. It's Ira Glass and his crew. What they've demonstrated was if you tell a great story, it doesn't have to be fast-paced. It doesn't have to be shallow. It can be thoughtful. It can be long. It can actually be somewhat slow. But it has to be a great story. What we have to do to get younger people listening is be a little more conversational, a little more informal, still be very substantive on the journalism. But if we tell great stories, that's the way to get them in, and it's starting to happen. I think the way podcasts sound today is what public radio is going to sound like in the future.
Yeah, that takes us, of course, well into the digital world, and that's obviously changing everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that you have to confront and are dealing with. In what ways?
Well, we believe all consumers, all people, all of our listeners, our users, are consuming lots of media and lots of content on lots of different platforms. And for us to be a successful organization and to do a good job serving the people that come to us, we have to do good work on each of the platforms. So we look at the network, our broadcast, as one, you know, type of product that we offer, and we approach it in one way. NPR, and as I said, we're up on the network over last year, over 40% year over year. On the network, on NPR.org, online, we just had a record month last year. Our record had been in February, 36 million uniques. In November of this year, we had 51.8 million uniques. On podcasting, last month, 72 million downloads for our podcast. We were ranked number one. We had double the number of downloads, the number two provider. And NPR One, one of our apps, we're up, I think, 160-170% over last year. Each one has a very different approach. Each one is a different use case for the listener or user. Each one has to stand on its own. But we think as an organization that creates stories and news and journalism, we have to do really well on each one of those platforms.
So where does radio stand in this food chain?
Well, radio still is, in terms of scale, reaches the most people and is, from a business standpoint, the most valuable. We reach 30 million people, roughly 30 million people every 7 days. Morning Edition will reach about 13 million, all things considered, about 13 million. I mean, it's a huge business. We reach a lot of folks. That's what most people, most of the people consume NPR content that way. But we do have a lot of people that are coming, as I said, 51.8 million people, uniques at NPR.org. Mm-hmm. Now, they may only read one or two stories. One of our biggest challenges is how do we get them to read more? Mm-hmm. And we're working on those.
But the young people are reading a lot, and that surprises folks, I'm sure, to think that they would rather read. I think you pointed out in the meeting this morning, they would rather read than listen.
Well, some people – I don't know the demography, the split of the fact I gave this morning was something like 60 to 65% of the people that come to the website read what's going on as opposed to listening to audio or watching video, which we have a little bit of. I don't know how that splits between 18 to 34 and what happens to the people over 35. I do know just from a personal as much as I like to think of myself as an 18 to 34-year-old, uh-huh. those days are long, long gone.
Tell me about it.
You know, I'm out of the 25-54 bracket. When I use my smartphone and I want to check what's going on in the world, I'm more interested in reading what's happening in terms of the news. I rarely listen to the audio piece, but there are times when I have a little more time and I want to hear a 6-minute, 7-minute piece that we might have produced on something, mm-hmm. and I'll do that. But the bulk of my digital consumption is probably reading as well.
When trying to attract and working to attract this younger audience, which we've indicated is important to the future, is there any concern that the older listener is going to be kind of bypassed in any way? I mentioned that because Diane Rehm was in town not too many weeks ago, and one of the things that she was concerned about was the fact that maybe we're going to bypass the donor class, the people who are actively and financially supporting the stations and the network.
Well, I think if we do our jobs well, we will not. It's really important as one in any business, but certainly an NPR, public radio, wants to expand the audience. The important thing to in any business, I think this is true, you want to protect your core and then you want to expand from that core. So the research we talked about earlier about people perceiving us as being too coastal, let's say, or too mm-hmm. elitist, there are a lot of people that are really want news, are great consumers of news. If we were to say tomorrow, we want to start reaching out to people that don't like the news. Now, that's a fool's errand. That's just not going to happen. We need to attract people that are very engaged, very interested in news. One of the things we've heard is they are more interested in – they don't want us to sound as formal. I think there is a way, and we've actually been demonstrating it, that we can attract a younger audience at the same time we protect the core, and the values are great journalism. Are we doing the important stories? Are we doing stories that have great impact? Are we telling them as great stories? And I think that's a huge part, and I don't think it has anything to do with any demographic. People love great stories. If a person is one of our core listeners and they're hardcore news junkies, if you will, mm-hmm. they're going to be there for the story regardless. But if we can tell that story in a more compelling way and make it more interesting, I think we start attracting people that weren't listening before. So what we're seeing with our audience growth is we're increasing with 18 to 24s, 25 34s, 35 44s. We're doing better journalism and better storytelling. We're increasing the audience across the board.
One final question I have for you, which maybe should have been the first question, but you came into this job saying you were looking at this as a mission, mm-hmm. not a job. So
yes.
In your words, what's the mission?
The mission, well, it's really important to me. I've been involved in public radio for many, many for decades as a listener. For about 13 years, I was on the board of Southern California Public Radio and chairman of that board. I think it is a wonderful gift to every community. I think what St. Louis Public Radio is for the people that are listening, that are members, sustaining members, hopefully sustaining members, mm-hmm. It's a remarkable gift. What we're doing because of the state of journalism is more important now than it's ever been. And in community after community after community across the country, trying to help local radio stations – do the kind of local community service journalism that each of these communities needs, and being helpful. That's and at the same time providing our national and international news. That's what I want to do. My job is to make sure that the stations and NPR have the resources to do this work.
You didn't mention MTV or E! Entertainment in your background there. I have to ask, what did you learn there that you bring to NPR that will be helpful?
Well, first, an interesting anecdote. This is very funny. If you were 18 years old when MTV launched, you're now 53.
Hmm.
Isn't that weird?
Yes.
It's kind of hard to get your mind around. But from VH1 or MTV or E, any of those companies that I've had the fortune of being able to run, it's all about understanding what the people that are coming to you want, and then doing a really good job of super serving that audience. And I want to add an addendum to that. I think there are probably some people listening going, oh, you're talking about pandering to your audience. And that's not the case. The people that listen to public radio want good, solid journalism. They want good storytelling. They want to know what's going on in the world, and they also want to be surprised. They want to hear those stories, those driveway moments. That can't be done by formula. That can only be done by really great, smart, creative people experimenting and trying things. So I find the parallels there similar. Mm-hmm. That's what we did at VH1, what we did at MTV, and what we did at E! Very different approach, very different content. I think a lot of people were concerned when I took this job that I was going to be taking the network in that direction. And I hope we've proven over the last 2.5 years that we've doubled down on really solid, important journalism.
Our thanks to Jarl Mohn, President and CEO of NPR. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.